This is Rachel Kosman. Welcome to a SearchStorage.com podcast. Today, we'll be talking about the basics of compression, one of the storage technology words that our readers search for most. I'm here with Curtis Preston. Curtis is the executive editor for TechTarget's Storage Media Group and is a renowned independent backup expert. Hi, Curtis. Let's get started. First of all, what's the best definition of compression?
The best definition, I think, is the simplest one, is basically a variety of technologies that take a look at a file or a stream of data and try to find redundant part of that data and remove those redundancies. That wasn't a simple definition, but I need to make it somewhat more complex in order to differentiate it against some other technologies, which we'll end up talking about.
All right. So how is compression accomplished? Can you give us a picture of what actually happens to the data?
Well, I would not call myself a compression expert, but basically they're trying to find common pieces of data, you know, blocks and things that they can get rid of, shrink, remove, you know, substitute with smaller patterns. And the more of those things that they can find, the more it can compress. The, you know, a perfect example to illustrate how that works, if you take and create an Oracle, create a file for the purpose of making an Oracle database, and you just did that, if you compress that file, you'll get crazy compression ratios like 99%, because the file consists entirely of essentially zeros. And so it basically says, look, I got 7,000 zeros, and it only takes, you know, a couple of bytes to say that. So the more redundant things that it can find in the file, the better it's going to compress the file. And the same is true as the data is going through, you know, compression works kind of two places. One is things like WinZip and Compress and Unix to run that against a file, and you turn a file into a file.zip or a file.z, but compression also runs in a backup stream, in a tape drive, and in that case, it's looking at the stuff as it comes along and tries its best, again, to find things that are next to each other that are similar and get rid of. In the case of tape drive compression, it's very important to note that because this is being done in hardware and it's being done at line speed, not only does it compress the data, it actually makes the tape drive faster, because by compressing the data, it means less data needs to be written actually physically to tape. Therefore, it makes the tape drive faster.
Okay. How has the compression technology changed since it was first introduced?
I don't know since it's first introduced, but in the 15 years or so that I've been dealing with compression, it really hasn't changed that much. There have been other algorithms and other commands that come out that try to do a better job, like gzip in the open source world. But essentially, the compress command in Unix and the tape drives that are compressing today, for the most part, aren't that much different than they have been for, you know, 15 or 20 years. They may be a little bit faster. They may compress the data a little bit more, but generally they're the same.
Okay. I know we kind of touched briefly on this, but which sort of data is a good match for compression, and are there files that shouldn't be compressed?
There are types of data that are good for compression and some that aren't good. Generally, there are data formats that are pre-compressed. A TIFF comes to mind. There are a number of image type files. I'm not sure of all of the different types, but there are types of files that essentially it is well known that that file type is pre-compressed. And so if it is already compressed, there's not much point in running compression against it. There is a concept in the compression community where if you have a file that's already compressed by, say, one compression algorithm, and let's say a file that's compressed and stored on the file system as a .zip file, and then you back that file up to another device that has compression, there is the concept that actually the file can get bigger. I've never tested that to the point of seeing how true that actually is, but I don't think it's something that people need to worry terribly about. I know that there are some people that worry very much about that they're actually going to make their files bigger. I think any effort that they would go through to identify files, you know, just from random file types that when they're being backed up to their tape drive or to their deduplication device, which also does compression, we should use the non-compression device on these because it might get bigger. I think the amount of hassle that you're going to go through to figure that out is certainly not worth the trouble.
Okay. We're hearing a lot about deduplication lately. What's the simplest way to explain the difference between compression and deduplication?
I would say compression over time. So compression is looking at a single instance of data to find out, are there parts of this data that are the same as other parts of this data that we can replace with pointers? Dedupe is doing that, but also comparing it to similar data that we've seen before. So it's not only looking in the file for things it can get rid of, but it's looking in that file for parts of that file or backup stream that have been seen by the dedupe device before. And there are some bloggers out there that have simply said that dedupe is compression. You know, when in the beginning of the call, for a definition of compression, I could have said anything that makes data smaller. I don't like that definition. Compression is a very specific technology that works on a specific instance of data. Dedupe works on data over time. So the more data, the more repetitive data that you send to a dedupe device, the better your dedupe ratio will actually get over time. Your dedupe ratio when you first start using a dedupe device is actually very disappointing, 4 or 5 to 1. But as you add data to it over time, the dedupe ratio can go up to 10 to 1 and 20 to 1 and even higher depending on your data. But compression, you're not comparing today's files to yesterday's files, so you only get so much compression. It's also important to note that almost all the dedupe systems, of which I'm aware, do both. They use traditional compression algorithms, and they use dedupe technologies to compare today's data to, you know, previous day's data. Generally, what they do is they do dedupe first, and then they do compression, because dedupe works at a macro level, and compression works at a micro level.
Thank you for that clarification. So when someone refers to a 2-to-1 compression ratio, can you explain to us what that means?
Well, it's pretty simple. It means that you took a 10-megabyte file and it now only takes up 5 megabytes of space. That is the general number that is thrown out there by most people that are using what's called the LimpelZIF compression algorithm, which is based on stuff that's been around for eons. And generally, very few people get that. Generally, what I at least in the open systems world, the number that I sort of stick with when I'm estimating if I'm asked to, is 1.5-to-1, is generally what I see out there. I hear claims of higher than that. I've seen 3-to-1 in a customer's environment, but rarely do I see 2-to-1 on a regular basis. I see generally 1.5-to-1, which means that we took, you know, a 6-megabyte file and it now takes up 4 megabytes.
Well, thank you, Curtis, for taking the time to speak with us. We really appreciate it.
Anytime.